Welcome to the 8th episode of our UCEM in Conversation with podcast series, where I'm joined by Nella Pang, MD of commercial advisory company Omega Real Estate. Hi, Nella.
Good morning, Andrew.
How are you doing?
Great, thank you. Probably better than you with a sleepless night.
Yes, getting used to having a new baby in the household, but he's out of the house, so we won't be hearing him during the podcast at the moment. So his mother's taking him for a walk, which is very kind of her. So all good. And a nice sunny day as well as we speak. And the summer is finally starting to arrive.
Absolutely. It's been too long, right? We had that 1 week of sunshine and then a week of rain.
Yeah, it'd be good to get a few more weeks before summer is out. And we get the long nights drawing in again. But there we go. So basically we're here to talk about yourself and your career. So first off, could you tell me how you entered the built environment sector?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I kind of just fell into it because I was studying a variety of subjects at college, from business, art, law and dance. And I just didn't have a clue what I wanted to do. But I knew that I didn't want to go to university and waste money on a degree that I wasn't really passionate about. So I decided to go straight into work. And I actually started off at Vail Williams in Southampton, and I started off as a secretary, which was really just a bit of a stepping stone for me whilst I figured out what I wanted to do.
So from those early beginnings, and obviously Vail Williams within the built environment sector, so taking on that role, that was your first encounter in the built environment and not knowing what to do. I mean, so what happened next? Could you talk me through your career so far?
Yeah, so I started off as a secretary in 2004, and to be honest, like, my head of office at the time, she was like a formidable woman who started as a receptionist and became an equity partner. Her name was Irene Spencer, and she really made me believe that anything was possible and that could be me. So I generally just was working hard, took on more responsibility, and I was specifically in the commercial agency team. And my boss at the time, Jason Webb, had actually said, well, why don't I try and do the distance learning course and become a surveyor? Because I was doing the job anyway. So I'm definitely grateful for the opportunity to kind of work with Irene and Jason, because they certainly believed in me before I even knew that surveying was even an option. So I started my 8-year journey of working full time and studying full time. And then in 2010, I was asked to join BNP Paribas in Southampton again, which I spent about 4 years with them. And I certainly remember getting promoted in March to a senior surveyor, and then the next month being offered a job at Jones Lang LaSalle as an associate director. So I think a lot of people think like I got promoted quite quickly as a senior surveyor. How would I handle like an AD role? And I guess I was either undervalued at BNP Paribas or JLL or something that I didn't. But I definitely dealt with the kind of imposter syndrome throughout my career. But I joined in 2014 the agency team, and this is where I like truly flourished as a surveyor. So from when I was at JLL, I was brought in to specialise in industrial and the office sectors and the commercial team. And then in 2015, there was a bit of a restructure, and they asked me to specialise specifically in office agency and lead that side of the business. So like just fast forward along, so like in 2019, this was like my pinnacle year, because I was made a director a few months before, then promoted to like run the business space and development team on the South Coast. And then I was also then asked to join a client account, which meant being seconded to Refinitiv, who are part of the Thomson Reuters group. And I was handling their real estate portfolio across EMEA, which basically included jetting across across Europe doing acquisitions. And now I run my own firm, Omega RE, as of December 2020, sorry.
So there
getting all my dates mixed up. So that's a brief snippet of my career path.
It's the potted history, but sounds like a fantastic trajectory, basically, and from starting without that knowledge of the built environment sector, and then you know, you studied with us. As you say, I think 2012, moving further up until you're now sort of leading your own company as an entrepreneur. So it's a really fantastic story and a great 8 years, you would say. And as an Asian female, and therefore far away from the pale, male and stale stereotype attributed to the built environment, how accepting a sector have you found it? And what would you say to those in underrepresented groups about the prospect of going into the built environment?
Well, I guess like referring back to my imposter syndrome comment that I mentioned earlier, I definitely felt I wasn't good enough in the early parts of my career. And it wasn't really until I got to JLL that I felt really comfortable, just because of the endless opportunities that I was put forward for. And they're really into about promoting diversity. I think being a female in a corporate that kind of supports those roles definitely helped me be the surveyor that I am. But if I just reflect on my kind of career, at the very early days, I definitely had felt that I had to defend myself and had to be quite assertive to be heard as a female. And there were definitely times that I didn't fit in because I could drink beer with the lads, but I wasn't able to kind of participate in the football, the rugby chat. And I didn't come from a property background. Like, my parents are both in the hospitality catering industry. I was the first generation to get a degree. And as you rightly say, that I'm a female and I'm Asian. So I just kind of felt that I had to always work a bit harder. And if I just kind of recall on kind of scenarios that had happened, I had one surveyor that actually once told me that I had actually done very well considering, because I was a female and Asian. I think it was a little bit of a backhanded compliment, but it's kind of that those situations where you just think, oh, would you have said that to someone that was white and a man? I don't know. But there were occasions where I would speak to clients on the phone and then turn up to an inspection and they would comment on how I wasn't what they thought and kind of would ask like, oh, how come I didn't sound Asian? So that kind of standard cliche question of asking, oh, where are you from? And continue to push, but where are you really from? So yeah, it is a bit of a reality check for some people. But yeah, I am actually born in the UK, lived here all of my life. So to be honest, like, being Asian hasn't really affected me being in the property industry. A lot of the corporates are really pushing on the diversity, and again, really pro JLL. I believe in like their vision and how they're trying to integrate people. And yeah, I think for me, it was just a really great opportunity. But there's definitely still work to be done in terms of like the female side and bringing more women into the industry. And particularly for agency, there isn't very many women that stay in agency. Again, it's very much about knowing your markets. And if you're not around because you've gone off to have a child, I'm babbling on here, but for me, there was massive anxiety about when I was going to have a child and about staying in the industry. So I think just being a bit supportive around women in the industry and bringing them forward.
I mean, I'm sorry you've had those experiences, some of the reflections you gave there. And yeah, I would hope, you know, things are improving in that respect. You mentioned some of the diversity initiatives, and I think those kind of testimonies which you give just explain how important it is that companies are really zoning in on their diversity and inclusion and making it an accepting workplace for everyone who feels comfortable and happy to work within the built environment. So would you say, since you've been in the built environment, that it has improved in that respect?
So I'm based in the regions in Southampton, and I think if you're in a corporate environment, it's much more promoted in the industry and in the company to be bringing forward a diverse work group. Whereas in the region with the smaller companies, I don't think it's promoted enough, to be honest. And I do know other women that are in my same situation. They haven't been promoted, and other men counterparts have been promoted above them. And you just kind of question why, because they've put in their time, they're billing exactly the same, if not better, but they're still not being pushed forward for that promotion.
And if I'm listening currently, and I'm a woman and or from the BAME community, what would you say about coming into the built environment? Clearly, you've mentioned a few of the comments, and so if you're listening and you're thinking, oh, I'm not sure I want to go into that, you know, what would you say about coming into the built environment? Because you have had good experiences as well, and you know, your career has been, you know, fantastic sort of trajectories we've discussed before, and you gave us like your potted history, so you've been tremendously successful, and there are opportunities there. But would you say it's a built environment issue or a wider societal issue in that respect, and therefore is it better or worse, would you say?
Yeah, I think it's a wider issue rather than a built environment, to be honest, because I absolutely love my role. I, starting Amigo RE, I've kind of fallen in love again with surveying. I get to meet all types of people. So I specialise in commercial real estate. So I act for institutional landlords, corporates, your startups, your SMEs. So every day is a learning day. And obviously, I get the privilege to really get to understand and get to know my clients' business, and just making sure that we're aligning their real estate with their objectives. And that just makes me really passionate, because I feel like I'm a part of their business and going through the journey with them. And yeah, there are so many upsides to being involved in the built environment. And I think one of like the great things for me is about creating a legacy, because I, just to give you a bit of an example really, so at the moment I'm repositioning a 6-acre 62,000 square foot existing business center in Liphook, and it's pretty much run down. They couldn't get residential consent. So I've gone in and looked at ways of where there are opportunities to kind of reposition this scheme and to really bring it back to life and to add value to the community. And obviously with the way the pandemic has kind of happened and people reassessing their real estate needs, we've got a lot of businesses that are focusing on potentially moving out of London and into the regions. So it's been really exciting to basically research the demands of what employees want with their working environment and purposely design a scheme where people are at the heart of the design. So I think like if you can bring forward a scheme like that, that is going to be there for decades. And it's just kind of really for me as a mother as well, to like be able to bring my son and say, oh, I actually designed this, or this is what we created. Yeah, I'm really passionate about bringing forward exciting projects like that.
And that sums up a lot of the reasons why people get into the built environment and get so excited about it, is that you can have whatever role it might be at the start of a development, it might be towards the end, that you can look at that land or the property and say, I was a big part of that, and you've changed what we see all around us. And that seems to be the great privilege of working within the sector. So yeah, brought that to the fore, and that's a really good reason for getting into the sector, and say you can leave your mark, you can leave a legacy. And yes, great to hear that your Omega RE is going really well, and that you're very enthused by the work you are doing. So you also mentioned there that you are a mother, and that it was anxiety inducing to be mentioning that to your workplace at the time, as you felt it might count against you in terms of your career. So what was your experience like, and what advice would you give to others who may feel the same way?
Yeah, so I had like huge anxiety. It was that kind of unsaid comment that like, oh, Nella is of age, she's just got married, so she'll be leaving to have a baby soon. Obviously, I spent the last kind of 15 years building up my reputation in the property market, and I was just really nervous about losing it, particularly because I've been so extremely like career focused was he doing the 8 years of working full-time, studying full-time? It was that kind of massive goal. And I just felt that I didn't want to lose it by starting a family and being out in the market, really. And yeah, for me, unfortunately, that anxiety was really heightened at very early into my pregnancy. Because of market rumours, I actually had to tell clients before my 12-week scan. And I wasn't even out of the safe zone. Obviously, you've just been through it. So it was a really, like, emotional situation for me. But to be honest, I had huge amount of support from JLL, my employer at the time. And they have, like, they hosted a support network for women about to go on maternity or those returning back to maternity. And that actually did ease my anxiety to hear about their journey and how did they cope with it. And to be honest, as soon as I told my clients, they were really happy about it, but were really disappointed that I had that pressure to tell them so early.
You tell very few people at that stage, so it's really not ideal that that would be the case. Has there been any initiatives or ideas brought forward to prevent that happening, or is that just the way it is sometimes with these projects?
It's really difficult because you are not at that safe zone, right? So you don't really want to be broadcasting it because nobody really knows what was your experience to get pregnant, whether it was IVF or did you lose baby? And this is where I think by being in a very male-dominant industry, as soon as you're not drinking at an agent's function, for example, it's that general generalisation that, oh, she must be pregnant. And actually, people just really need to be a bit mindful about that. And, like, we're all human, and they've got wives out there as well. So, like, how would they feel if their wife was being treated like that? So it's just being a little bit more respectful that there are women in the industry.
Yes, men, if you're listening to this, then, yeah, just do not be commenting on those sort of things. Would be the takeaway from that. I mean, fantastic to hear that JLL had that support network as well, and they were really good to deal with. So it's clear that the company you work for, that there should be that sort of support there. And it shouldn't have any impact on your career. And that was the case for yourself. So hopefully is the case across the industry as well. You know, we have discussed the fact that you have set up your own company. So how did you feel about stepping into this unknown? And what advice would you give to would-be entrepreneurs?
So I obviously set up in December 2020. So I'm 7 months in, and I can truly say that it has been the most incredible journey. I feel like I've been doing it for years, to be honest, and I couldn't have asked for a better start. But I guess, like, the one thing is that you really, the future entrepreneurs, like, just fully embrace vulnerability, get out of your comfort zone and put yourself out there, really. And I've been really fortunate that I have that 17 years of experience, and I've built up my network. And I was very thankful that I've been getting quite a few referrals from even competitors. So JLL were actually my first clients, CBRE, where they've been conflicted, they've given me opportunities. LinkedIn has also been a massive opportunity for me. That's kind of, it's given me that platform to really showcase what we're able to offer and what we can do differently. But I guess, like, the one advice that I would give to those that are thinking of setting up them on their own is delegate. So know your strengths and your weaknesses and get that support before you burn out. It's all about creating that work-life balance. And to be honest, like, I'm grateful to have found Pavlina. So she joined my business in February, and she has been an absolute godsend because she's helped me grow my business and put processes in place so that I can focus on my day-to-day job and continue to grow my business.
And great to have that support. You mentioned vulnerability earlier when you're making that step, and it can be scary, of course, to sort of strike out on on your own in this way. So what's the thing which gives you that security when you're making that decision? What is sort of the one thing? Is it the business plan which you feel has been sort of peer reviewed, or is there something else which sort of makes you think I'm okay, I can do this, despite obviously that vulnerability which you do experience?
To be honest, the pandemic has created an incredible opportunity for me. I guess my fallback is my husband. He inspires me to keep on going. But I also had that one client that kind of backed me, that said that, Nella, if you set up on your own, we'll come with you. And I've worked with them for years. So yeah, I think having that knowledge that actually there are clients out there that will back you is obviously quite important. But at the same time, people that I thought would come with me didn't, and people that I thought that wouldn't come with me have. So I think it's just that realization that you can't win everyone, and you kind of need to accept that actually you'll be okay with the direction that you're going on, because they're the clients that you kind of want on your journey.
Definitely. And yeah, just to have that support. I mean, you mentioned your husband there, another alumnus of UCEM, and he runs his own company as well. So I suppose you can sort of compare notes in that respect as in terms of running a company, and nice to have that practical support, and quite amazing to have both of you doing that. So very, very busy lives you lead. So just moving forward, things are going well. What are your plans and hopes for the future in the sector? And that's your future.
Obviously, I hadn't really anticipated that my business would grow so quickly. I've kind of exceeded my 12-month review already. And I hit that mark after 3 months. So I'm already kind of reassessing where I'm going. But at the moment, I am looking to bring on a research analyst via the Kickstarter government scheme. So we're just going through a recruitment process at the moment. And again, the reason why I've done that is because I'm really pro about bringing forward, giving someone the opportunity to learn about the property industry that hasn't come from a property background similar to myself. I just feel that I owe it. I had the opportunity from Irene and Jason that gave me that chance, and I wouldn't be here today. So I just feel that I have to do the same. So not only am I trying to recruit a junior, but I'm also seeking for a more senior lease advisory. So hopefully continue to grow my team here, and maybe one day the big corporates might buy me out.
Great stuff. So there are the your hopes for the future, and also your plan to widen the net in terms of bringing in talent into the industry in the same way in which you had that opportunity. And though you didn't mention it there, you are also signing up as a UCEM role model. So that will be another outreach piece of work you'll be doing to show people your success and say, you can do this, and try to inspire others to join. And I think when we spoke before, you had just spoken at a conference or a webinar, which was about getting more women into the industry as well. So clearly, that you know, you've got a lot of passion about that. And yeah, are there many more plans in the future in that respect?
Webinars, just bringing people together, just to reconnect on a more of a personal level. You cannot have enough people in your network, because you just don't know where those opportunities are coming from. Next week, I'm presenting on Business Innovation South, a conference, which is basically bringing together innovation across the South Coast. But we've got a few of the strong female leads events which we are coordinating. So one will be a face-to-face, subject to restrictions lifting. And again, that's bringing female surveyors together in the property industry to kind of share their experience. Because what was really highlighted in the webinar that we hosted, which we had 140 people attend from across the globe, was that as soon as they heard other people's experience, they were more willing to share their experience. And I think a lot of us as women, we kind of internalize the situation and we just think, oh, this is just normal, this is just standard, when actually it's not, and it's not okay. And by providing that support network, it's great, because I actually had one lady that actually quit her job after attending the webinar, because she just felt inspired that she wasn't in a role that respected her as a woman. And now she's in a new company and they kind of support the diversity and she's much happier. So if I can just reach out to one person like that, then it just kind of makes me feel like I've contributed and helped someone.
And that's fantastic to see the impact you've had in such a tangible way as well. And I'm sure for all the others who were on that, they were also similarly inspired. And it's great to have these networks and places for such discussions. And as you say, sort of getting your stories out there, like we're doing today with your story, I think it is very important and just means others think, I can do that, I can be successful and I can make a great career within the built environment. So you're doing great work there and yeah, keep it up. So yeah, thank you for your time today. Been really fascinating conversation. Just before you go, we have a traditional sign off to these podcasts. It's 5 quick fire questions, so sort of one liner answers. So first up, how do you like to unwind away from your work?
Kickboxing.
There we go, one word. There you go, you've been warned, everyone. What is the best piece of advice you've received?
My favourite quote is, in order to discover new horizons, you have to have the courage to lose sight of the shore.
What is your favourite film?
I'd probably say The Green Mile.
Very, very affecting, that one. I remember watching it at school and struggling to hold back the tears. Being at an all-boys school, it was not a good look, so somehow kept them in. As an entrepreneur, which do you prefer, The Apprentice or Dragon's Den?
Ooh, I kind of like both. For different reasons. I guess like The Apprentice, I try to play out how I would do it. And then The Dragon's Den is brilliant because you kind of foster new ideas. Yeah, can I say both?
Yeah, they are both great programs. It is a tough one. I think I'd struggle with that one myself. And finally, who or what inspires you?
That's also a different one because I read quite a lot. Inspirational books, biographies. To be honest, like, I learn from pretty much everybody. Everyone has a different story to tell. And I'm a bit of a sponge when it comes to learning from other people's mistakes and their experiences. And I think you always have to have kind of an open mind just to change your perspective. So I can't really pinpoint one person, to be honest.
Yeah, but I think that's it's a good answer, that you can find inspiration in everyone, and yes, searching for the good in everyone is another sort of facet of that. So we all have it, and there's different things everyone brings to what they do. So thank you once again, Nella. It's been great hearing your story. And if you would like to follow Nella's footsteps and study with us, then do check out our website, which is ucem.ac.uk. Thanks for listening.